This past week, the Social Security Administration released their annual report on the status of the much-relied-on retirement and disability program, and no, the news was not good, as the date of the fund insolvency moved even more soon than it had already been anticipated. So what's this mean for people receiving Social Security benefits? Is there anything to be done to extend rather than shorten the solvency of the program? Here to explore all this is the Senior Vice President and Senior Policy Director with the Committee for a Responsible Federal Budget, Mark Goldwarren. How are you today, Mark?
I'm good. Thanks so much for having me on.
Well, great to have you here to help people better understand, because they hear the they see the headlines and the fear strikes, so they miss out on important details. And to see the report on Social Security by the Committee for a Responsible Federal Budget and Answers and Solutions as well, CRFB.org is their website. We have that link at our homepage as well. So I said the news was not good, Mark. How bad was the news in this latest report?
It's pretty bad. Look, people should be a little scared. Here's what the report says. Social Security is projected to run out of its reserves in 6 years, in 2032. And then Medicare is projected to run out of its reserves 6 months later, in 2033. Now, that doesn't mean either program goes away. But what the law says is that when it has no reserves, the benefits get cut to match the revenue. And for Social Security, that is a 22% benefit cut, abrupt, immediate, and probably across the board.
Now, what, as I said, the insolvency day continues to get closer and closer, as you said, now down to 6 years. It had been longer not too long ago, ironically. What's been the driving catalyst for this dark day getting closer?
So the insolvency date moved up a bit. They moved up 2 or 3 months because there's less revenue coming in from taxation of benefits from the One Big Beautiful Bill. But the real reason that we've lost time is because we spent a year ignoring this issue, right? So last year we had 7 years, and then we waited a year. So big surprise, now we have 6 years. The problem is we've been doing this since the 80s. We've known this problem was coming. We've been talking about fixing it since the 90s. And yet here we are in the year 2026, and we're no closer, and if anything, further from fixing it than we were back then.
When the whole program was created by initiatives from then-President Franklin Delano Roosevelt, didn't FDR even say that what we're doing is not a forever situation? At some point in the future, new ideas and new paths have to be taken, and it's just been completely, totally ignored?
Well, in fairness, I think that what he envisioned was the program was going to get bigger, and that is exactly what happened. It expanded to include survivor's benefits and spousal benefits and disability benefits, and to be larger and to be automatically indexed. So we have, in fact, followed through on his vision to expand the program. The problem is we haven't followed through on his vision to fully finance it. FDR always believed Social Security should be paid for internally. People should pay their own way. And right now, the revenue is way short of the benefits. And so either we need more taxes coming in, less benefits going out, or some combination. And frankly, it's hard for me to see any solution other than some combination.
For you listening, Social Security currently provides monthly benefits to around 71 million Americans, and that's for 43% of seniors, all or most of their personal income. So, again, like Morris said, there is a fear that's growing as far as the insolvency time gets closer and closer. In the past, has this happened, and how has it been addressed in the past to extend the solvency?
Yeah, so we've had two times in the past that we've approached insolvency, in 1977 and 1983. And both times in different ways, policymakers came together and they enacted a set of fixes. We raised the retirement age. We increased the amount of income subject to the cap. We changed the payroll tax. We brought more people onto the program. We adjusted the formula. Like, the solutions are out there. And I do also want to point out, you're right, there are so many people that really rely on Social Security, and a 22% benefit cut would be devastating. It would cut benefits by $500 a month, even in just today's dollars. But there's a whole other set of people that don't even really rely on their Social Security at all. The Social Security benefits are now $100,000 for the very richest couples. And so there's opportunities, I think, to slow the benefit growth for seniors that have tens of millions of dollars in assets in order to preserve it for those that really are relying on the program.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds like an obvious observation, if someone is sitting on savings or life really worked out for them and they have assets of 7, 8, 9 figures, why do they need Social Security?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a fair question. We've proposed something that doesn't actually take away their Social Security. All it says is your Social Security benefits can't go over, for a couple, $100,000 a year. So even if you have tens of millions, we're still saying you can collect $100,000, just maybe not $110,000. I think it's a pretty modest proposal, and it wouldn't fix Social Security on its own, but it would help make some significant leeway.
And you mentioned, too, that the idea of the plan was that you pay in and take out what you pay in like you would with a bank account or a checking account, but just because of the way the program has grown and the finances have all but collapsed, that idea is long past. I don't think we'd ever get back to that ratio, would we?
Yeah, I mean, the problem is people have been getting out more than they put in on average. It was never supposed to be like a savings account that you get what you put back in. But there was this idea that you paying in sort of bought you the ticket to be able to get benefits. The problem is those benefits have been larger than the payments. And the scheme is falling apart because there's such a large gap. And so either people are going to have to pay more, they're going to have to get less, or there's one scary option, which is the federal government may say it's too hard to change Social Security. We're just going to borrow. We're just going to borrow another $800 trillion over the next 75 years. That would put the country into a debt crisis.
There's various programs under the umbrella of Social Security, but they're separate funds. Is there a way to, would it be prudent to combine the funds, and would that prolong the solvency?
Right. So the retirement fund runs out in 2032. There's a separate disability fund. That fund is healthy. And we could take some money from the disability fund, put it to the retirement fund. That would buy us about a year and a half. So that could get us to 2034. That might make sense as we're sort of buying time to phase in changes, but it's not a permanent solution. It's a kick the can that literally gets you, you know, from one presidential administration to the next. It doesn't get you much further than that.
When you say to raise taxes to create revenue for the program, what kind of tax increase would be ballpark be talking about?
So if we were to do this entirely from the payroll tax rate, we'd ultimately have to increase that rate by 50%. So right now, the payroll tax rate for Social Security is 12.4%. You pay half, your employer pays half. We'd have to gradually increase it to about 19%, 18 or 19%. So this is a massive increase. Now, we could do less of that if we solve some of the problem by raising that cap, that $185,000 cap on income subject to the wage cap. But that's not going to solve the whole problem either. That over the long run solves maybe a quarter of the problem. And we could also look at things like subjecting some kinds of fringe benefits to the tax. So we don't have to do it all with the rate increase, but to solve this all on the tax side, over time, we're talking about a very large tax increase.
You present, and again, over at your website, crfb.org, you present detailed paths to repair what's already broken. Problem is, well, we have the midterms looming, and if the party who is in charge remains in charge, we see program cuts as their idea. As far as, you know, what's left to be cut other than again, money to the beneficiaries?
Well, look, Social Security benefits not only are large for those rich beneficiaries, but they actually continue to grow pretty rapidly over time. Over the next 75 years, average real benefits, meaning adjusted for inflation, are projected to triple. And so there is room to save money by just slowing the growth. But we have 6 years until insolvency, and we're not going to make huge changes to current beneficiaries, which means there really is no option other than having tax revenue. You can't save money from new beneficiaries fast enough. And frankly, I don't think you can raise taxes high enough, which is why I say we're going to need some kind of combination of more taxes and less benefits. But it doesn't have to be less benefits than today. It just has to be less benefits than projected in the future.
I know this is outside your realm, but one of the other contributing facts to the solvency of Social Security is the fact that undocumented immigrants, they can't, at least legally, receive benefits from Social Security, but when they're working on the books, they pay into Social Security. So theoretically, if, as so many people want to do, you remove that demographic from the contributing population, that would just magnify the problem.
That's right. I mean, one of the funny things, maybe not funny, but there's some people that think you can fix Social Security by cutting fraud. It turns out fraud of collecting benefits is actually very low. The biggest source of fraud in Social Security is people that are illegally paying into the program, right? And so it's illegal, undocumented, whatever you want to call it, immigrants that are actually helping the program by paying in and not getting benefits back. And so the recent strengthening of immigration rules and administration actually has worsened Social Security's trust fund.
Well, as I said, we have the midterm elections coming up, and hopefully for you listening, this will be a key part of what you're asking and listening from the candidates when they start talking about things that matter to you. We have the Social Security report over at our downloads page. If you don't do it on a full stomach, trust me, but check that out, because a lot of graphs and a lot of information. And to find some paths to solutions, that's what the Committee for a Responsible Federal Budget is providing at crfb.org. He is their Senior Vice President and Senior Policy Director, Mark Goldwein. Thanks so much for being here today and helping us better understand the urgency of finding a solution to a very serious problem. Thanks again.
Thanks for having me.